Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Chew, and I feel like I have to make sure I specify here.
Yep, got it.
When you were a player, did you ever feel like the other team was disrespecting you? Because I feel like now, if I asked if you ever felt disrespected, you would say yes every day that me and Josh disrespect you. Even though Josh isn't here today, we've got full-time Will with us.
JV Will.
JV Will.
It's not very nice.
Well, you lied to me already this morning.
What?
Before the show even started.
What?
What about varsity backup, Will? I like that a lot more.
Varsity backup.
Yeah.
He lied to me, right. Flat out lied.
It's more
to
my
me.
Speed.
Wait, so do you want to put that on the poll? Would you rather be varsity backup or JV?
JV starter or varsity backup? Varsity backup all day.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Wait, so how did Will lie to you?
Said he has my back.
That's
lie.
True.
Lie.
What do you mean? I think Will has your back.
To my face.
I think Will especially has your back.
You think so?
Behind your back.
We'll see what we could pull out of Will today. Because the last time we had Will on the show, we had Homer on the show.
Oh, boy. Poor Will.
I had no idea Homer smoked weed. Did you know that?
I mean, the dude, yeah, I would just assume
okay.
At some point.
And he inhaled, he said.
Did you? Well, have you ever seen pictures?
He also did not say that.
What?
He didn't specifically say that he inhaled.
No, but he said
we
he smoked.
We can deduct that, but.
Followed up by you.
You're putting
starting
words.
The conversation.
I did not start
Did
it.
You get in trouble with your mom?
No. She thought it was funny.
She thought it was funny?
Yeah. Well, I didn't start
you got
it.
You're a cool mom.
Yeah.
Huh?
This is...
You didn't know that?
You are like a kid in the candy store, man.
Why?
You just see fresh blood over there with
yeah.
Will, and you just get excited.
Yeah.
You just get excited. Just want to jump all over.
He just wants to run me over.
We have
trust
in him.
Yes.
He does.
See, Will wants to skate through everything, you know, just kind of be under the radar. No, that doesn't
Varsity
work.
Varsity backup.
Me.
That's
exactly what they do.
Yeah.
They're still cool enough to get the jacket.
All right, I got another one. Would you rather have this one? Practice squad Will.
Practice squad players get paid a lot still.
They do, but they have to sit with the band.
Yeah, I don't like that. I want the glitz
and glam.
Lindsey Knapp
when he was on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Remember the Stosh band they used to have?
Yeah.
All the codgers. He had to sit there. So when we were blowing a team out, we'd look over and just start laughing.
It's okay, Larry.
It's okay, Larry. What were we talking about?
So disrespect. As a player,
yes.
Did you ever feel going into a game that you were being disrespected by an opponent, by the team you were about
no.
to play?
No. And I'll tell you why. Because Holmgren tried extra hard at that stuff. You know? He tried to create bulletin board material where, like, okay, whatever. But.
Did you ever show up to a meeting with cream puffs? Hey, set these
bring,
over.
He would bring that. You know,
stuff
he,
like
he
that.
Would try to create stuff. Where we'd get in trouble is if we created bulletin board material.
Sure.
He would get incensed. He'd go crazy. That was a visit to the office. Yes.
So, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit with Jason, because while Matt LaFleur avoided talking about the bulletin board material that Ben Johnson provided earlier this season when he was hired, I mean, this was even way before the season, when he was hired as Bears head coach, we'll get to that in a little bit. But apparently, Micah Parsons, I don't know what's going on in this guy's head, because I haven't seen any of what he is talking about, but apparently... He is feeling, Chewy, disrespected. Here is what Micah Parsons had to say in the locker room yesterday.
You know, man, you know, I believe in having my, you know, rivalries are for the people. It's for the fans. For me, it's just going out there, just down there. Like, I just don't like him just because, you know, I just see, like, the disrespect that comes with things, you know. And that's what I say. I play for respect, like, You know how to earn someone's respect is being a there's no better feeling than coming to the game and their best players is coming to a team like, yeah, like, okay. Like, that's like respect.
So he's somewhere along the line. And I don't know if he's, look, if you go on Twitter, if you are a professional athlete in 2025, you can go on Twitter and find anyone disrespecting you. Like you could find, yes, like totally. you could go on Twitter right now. Like Myles Garrett is on pace to set the NFL sack record and have the best season a pass rusher has ever had in the history of this league. Mm-hmm. He's on pace for that. I'm sure you could go on Twitter right now. You search Myles Garrett, you'll find someone disrespecting him. But the way he's talking seems like the Bears did something to him to that he feels disrespected. And I don't know where it's coming from.
Well, I do. The coaches are trying to manufacture stuff from what Ben Johnson said earlier in the season. Because Stenovich said something as well yesterday.
Did, and we're going to get to that.
But hold on. Coaches do that. Some coaches do, some coaches don't. Now, what Ben Johnson did, I look at as poking the bear.
Yes.
That's all it was poking the bear. Now, if Ben Johnson came out and said, I'm such a better play caller than Matt LaFleur, he's not real good at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's disrespectful. But correct. What he said is just like friendly rivalry. Now, well, I disagree with
the weird
Micah.
Going back to Ben, the weird part is, A, he doesn't have that relationship with LaFleur. And two, most other coaches who have become, like, taking a shot at the Packers in your introductory press conference is a rite of passage for every Bears head coach going back to Lovie Smith.
Yes.
Like, Lovie took over, said something about the Packers. Eberflus said something about the Packers. Like, it's just what they do. He specifically went after Matt LaFleur. Didn't go after the Packers.
Yeah.
Went after Matt LaFleur, which is just it was weird.
Poking the bear.
But yes, I would agree. I would put that more in the poking the bear category versus.
But you know what? Guys do this.
Disrespect. Yes.
Guys, I do it in the weight room. You know, when I got, you know, when you have close to 500 pounds on the bench,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't willy-nilly that. You have to get yourself agitated inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I just picture the guy that I smacked one time and dropped him because he touched my wife one time after I told him not to.
Okay.
So then you run that through in your head and gets you all agitated. That's what Micah Parsons is doing. Now, I disagree with him from the fact that rivalries are just for the fans. It is not. We hated Minnesota. I hate Minnesota to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And when Holmgren came out and said, I want guys cut on screens, I've told you the story before. I'm like, no, it's dangerous. I said, we'll do it against Minnesota because I can't stand them, but I'm not doing it against anyone else. So that was a rivalry. It was with the fans, but it was with the players. We hated, and part of it was Tierlink, that piece of you-know-what, their D-line coach, who's a dirty, Brett would go at it on the sidelines.
Wait, Brett? I mean, Brett got into it with a number of different people over the years, but he got into it with the defensive line coach?
Yes.
In the game?
Yes, because what we thought is they were teaching their D-linemen
to be dirty.
Dirty tactics. That's one thing. One thing, and I'm sure they do it today, but back in the day when I played, man, you always had your guys back,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have a check. Someone hits Robert Brooks that I didn't like. I'm like, okay, you're on my radar.
What, didn't you whiff on someone once? Oh, no, you whiffed on Dion. You whiffed on Dion. That was a different thing.
I didn't really want to do it. I mean.
But Dion, you. That was
more of a bounty.
Yeah, I was about to say, Holmgren just wanted you to get a big hit on Dion. Like, Dion never hit anybody dirty because he never hit anybody, period.
No.
Because he didn't need to. He was so good.
Yes.
But you just wanted to get, that had nothing to do with
that was, bad.
That was something else.
That was a bad play.
It's just crazy to me that, like, because I haven't seen the disrespect. Like,
from the Bears?
Yeah. And I understand where you're coming from in terms of the rivalries. And I think, for the most part, no matter what sport we're talking about, the rivalries typically mean more to the fans. Because you have to move on, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to move on. And this is always, Packers-Bears has always been, in my mind, as a Packers fan, and not every Packers fan holds this belief, but Packers-Bears has always been my biggest rivalry.
Really?
Even though the Packers,
Even in my day?
Because
when they were irrelevant, they weren't even relevant.
They've been irrelevant for most of, starting in 92 on.
Yeah.
But Packers-Bears, that's always been the rivalry I've cared about the most.
Really?
Even though you would say that Minnesota certainly has been more relevant during that time.
Correct.
And more recently, obviously, Detroit. But I don't know if the Packers have necessarily treated this as a rivalry because they've just dominated the Bears. They just haven't been good. Like, Matt LaFleur's 11-1 against the Bears. So
you just
don't hear
about it as much because back when I played,
Yeah.
like restaurants, when you'd walk in instead of a floor mat there,
yeah,
they would put Bears jerseys to wipe your feet on.
Yeah.
I don't hear that stuff anymore. You?
No, I have not heard of anything like that. But it could be going on at a restaurant or something up in Green Bay.
Yeah.
But the rivalries, I think the reason why also Minnesota was a big rivalry for you guys, because that was a team that you were competing against for the division title. That was always a place that you guys struggled in going up to the dome. Like, domes were never good. They were never
like
your friends.
There, no.
And I think that was a part of the reason why that rivalry grew for you guys, specifically in the locker room, because the rivals, to me, for teams and players, the people who are actually out on the field, they develop when you actually have, when you're going up against somebody and you both have the same goals and aspirations.
Yes.
Right?
Well, let me ask you this. Is Cubs-Brewers bigger rivalry than Bears-Packers?
No.
I think it is.
But recently, I mean, you can make that argument for recently because...
I think it is.
And but Cubs fans, a lot of them will say the Brewers aren't even the biggest rival. But the Cardinals are their biggest rival. Even though the Cardinals have been even though the Cardinals have been irrelevant the last 4 or 5 years, and it's been Brewers Cubs at the top of that division, and then we finally got that got to culminate, especially with the Craig Council stuff, and then it culminates with the playoff series that we got to witness this past playoff.
Well,
but I would say that, I mean, in terms of something on the line, yeah, but there's more on the line. Like, this game, everybody's been mentioning it across ESPN Milwaukee. This is the biggest Packers-Bears game since 2013.
Yeah. Yeah. What Rodgers said was much more inflammatory than what Ben Johnson said.
In terms of what?
We own you.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
But he also said, it wasn't even just a we own you.
I own you?
I own you.
It was like coming off COVID tour, there weren't like full fans in the stadium, so you could freshly hear it. Like.
Yeah.
TV broadcast.
What exactly did Ben Johnson say?
I think I pull it up.
Pull it up.
He can pull it up. Ryan, on the Carbless Talk at text line, 800-990-3776, Ryan from McGuanago saying, the disrespect is the Bears winning games. Unacceptable. But let's go ahead and listen. Because again, I'm with Chewy. I don't think this is necessarily disrespect. I think it is poking the bear. I think it's a step below disrespect. But here is what Ben Johnson said at his opening press conference about Matt LaFleur.
I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
That's a good pop. maybe it's a little more than poking the bear. They're definitely using it, as they should.
Oh, yeah, I know. This is playing out the way I expected it to.
Yeah.
Where LaFleur was asked about it on Monday. He downplayed it, said he hasn't thought about it. But then you get Steno up to the podium yesterday, and he talks about it a little bit. We'll talk about that as we continue here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But
you know who our biggest rivalry was?
About it, yes.
Our biggest rivalry in the 90s, especially the middle 90s?
Dallas?
It wasn't a team thing either.
Oh, really?
It was our offense hated Tampa Bay's defense.
Huh.
Remember that Brett and Sapp would fight all the
and
time?
That playoff game. And, yeah, I remember that playoff game in 97.
They were chirpy.
Yeah.
That was a rivalry.
Well, and then, I mean, it probably culminated in the cheap shot that Cliffy took.
Yes. Yeah. So it was really offense against their defense. I love going down there. I love living down there, too.
Well, you guys,
because
they're
die hands,
stuck it,
and that's
Tampa
what
Bay.
I say. You know, when I talk a Tampa Bay fan, yeah, we used to own your ass in the 90s.
Well, and the crazy part,
and they think that team is so great.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sapp, Lynch, Hardy Nickerson, Derek Brooks, Barber, you know,
yeah, I forgot about
they
Riley.
Talk. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, they were great. How many times you guys beat us in the 90s?
And
that's poking the bear right
that
there.
That is, and I can see that you enjoy poking the bear.
Yes.
Because the crazy part about that was, if you are a younger fan of, like, Will, when did you start paying attention to the NFL?
Probably around, like, the early 2010s. The Bears, like, Jay Cutler, Packers, like, Aaron Rodgers in his prime.
What year were you born?
2002.
So Will was born in 2002. That's when realignment happened, and they went to the four divisions of four teams. Would it be news to you that in the 90s, Chewy's talking about Tampa Bay, they were in the same division?
Yeah.
Green Bay and Tampa Bay.
He did talk about that because I think he was referencing when John Lynch laid him out that one time.
The NFC Central.
Yes.
At the time.
That's
the NFC
weird.
Central was the division, and it's the four teams that are in there now, plus Tampa Bay.
And we loved it because we knew at some point during the season we're going down in nice weather.
Yeah.
So we
guaranteed.
And we owned them.
Arizona.
And we go back with the sombrero.
Oh, yeah.
There were years where there were more Packer fans in the sombrero.
Oh, yeah.
Than Bucks fans.
Would it shock you, Will, to know that Arizona was in the NFC East?
Yes. Yeah.
Teams that are in the NFC East, plus the Arizona Cardinals.
That's incredible.
Is it incredible to know that when I was your age, the Cardinals were in St. Louis?
I did not know that. I knew they were
you
in
didn't
Chicago.
Know that?
I knew they were in Chicago.
Jim Hart?
That.
Who's that?
I knew the Rams were in St. Louis.
Lomas Brown?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So that's. Divisions used to be wild and made absolutely no sense.
Crazy.
The Falcons were in the NFC West.
It's like NCAA conferences now, where it's just like no location
just
matters.
Coast to coast. Just
Minnesota, Oregon.
No, it was wild.
Yeah, the Cardinals were in the NFC East, and the Falcons were in the NFC West.
And Seattle was in the AFC.
what a time to be
Who
alive.
Who else was in the AFC? Was
football.
It just them?
Yeah, because you only had... You only had 30 teams.
Yes.
Now they have the 32.
Yes.
So it was three divisions of five teams each in each conference.
Are you surprised they haven't expanded with the popularity? I mean, they certainly could.
It feels like they're in a good spot right now. I feel like if they expanded, the quality of games would go down.
You think so?
They already have a hard enough time finding 32 quarterbacks to quarterback the current teams.
Fair. Yeah.
Adding two more to make it 34.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Seems rather difficult.
Yeah.
We continue to talk about the Packers. We continue to talk about the Bears and this rivalry. Jason Wilde joins us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
Down! Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, dudes. How we doing?
We're dialed. I think we're dialed.
But that's the thing. I do think we're dialed, Jason. So maybe you can help me. Where is this disrespect of Micah Parsons coming from? Where is he reading or seeing this disrespect that's coming his way?
Who was that guy that played for the Washington Wizards that did nothing to Michael Jordan in the, you've seen,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
LaMichael, something along those lines. LeBradford Smith. It's LeBradford Smith. I can't believe he's disrespecting Micah Parsons like this. Or that poor guy who made the varsity at Jordan's high school.
Oh, yeah.
When Jordan was a sophomore.
Yeah.
And that poor guy got called out in Jordan's Hall of Fame speech.
It's like, awesome.
Look, I really... I really enjoy Parsons. Like, he's been, you know, he is a colorful character. We haven't had a lot of guys. It's a little difficult now that I'm putting together TV packages for WISC in Madison, that sometimes he'll be in the middle of a good quote and then he swears, which has never really been an issue for me. From a writing perspective, I just put the brackets in that say expletive and we're all good. But he's, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of how many colorful characters we've had in recent years, because Chewie's 96 team was obviously full of them.
Yeah,
I was also in, I also invoked Chewie's name yesterday in the locker room, not to any of the players, because they
don't, you know who this guy is.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I'm still trying to get people to give me credit for comparing Tucker Kraft to Chewie, and you know, that's, it's progress is slow, but I'm in it for the long haul. Just like Tausch has finally acknowledged that there's a lot of Micah Hyde in Evan Williams, mm-hmm. which is a big win for me. But the design of the locker room, I mean, it's obviously the amenities are a million times better than those, like, chain link fence lockers that you guys had. Mm-hmm. But Williams and McKinney are in that corner like your corner, and it's a pain in the butt to try and get to them. And here are, you know, you used to take advantage of that. Like,
yeah.
You can't get to Chewie. Oh, well, I guess we won't be able to talk today. But these guys are two of the best talkers. So it's a real location problem. So I don't know. I don't know where Mike is bringing that up. I literally started my story for today by comparing him to Jordan, conjuring stuff up. And again, his brother made some sort of reference a couple weeks ago. Remember that tweet, Gabe, where he basically said you should be complaining about Rashawn Gary and not my brother. That was basically the translation. And which, I mean, no lies detected, except for the fact that I don't think anybody's complaining about Micah Parsons. He's even playing the run well.
Well, that's the thing, Jason. Like, you could go onto Twitter right now, search Micah Parsons, and you'll find somebody somewhere disrespecting him. It's just the way that Twitter is. Like, you'll find somebody disrespecting Myles Garrett, mm-hmm. despite him being on pace to set the sack record this season. But the way that Micah talked about it, it wasn't like, oh, people on social media or any people. No, it was like specifically the Bears were disrespecting him. So, and I want to make this perfectly clear. I have no problem with him manufacturing motivation. I know that's what athletes do. It was just funny. I'm like, wait, did I? Because I honestly went, wait, did I miss something? Like, because I know we're all talking about the Matt LaFleur thing, and Steno mentioned that. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I honestly thought I missed something the way Micah was talking in the locker room yesterday.
Yeah. I was not there for Parsons. I was talking to a couple of guys in the locker room, which again is another one of my complaints now, is that the two biggest stars, the quarterback and the pass rusher, go out into the hallway to do their interviews, which is, it's fine. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, other than the fact that if you want to break away from the group, you don't have vision to the locker room like your corners want vision to the ball to intercept passes. If I see someone I really need to talk to, I can bail and then come back, and I can't do that. So I didn't go to Parsons. I did read our transcript from our little cabal of one-man bands that kind of worked together to get the transcription done. And I think if my guy Jack McCoy was involved from Law & Order, the judge would say, would sustain the objection for a leading question. Because mm-hmm. somebody said something about the Bears' disrespect. And then that's kind of what triggered the venting that he delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't know. Maybe I'm not paying close enough attention, but I actually thought it was the opposite. I thought that this, you know, because of the poorly delivered zinger from Ben Johnson in January, I feel like they've been like awkwardly, uncomfortably complimentary going both directions. Now, I will say this, and I didn't finish my story last night because I was working on some other stuff, but I talked to Josh Jacobs for quite a while, and during the group portion, of our conversation. He did. Somebody asked him about the rivalry, and he said it's much stronger this year because they're actually a pretty decent team. Which I thought was, okay, I guess that's a compliment, but that sounds to me like something that I would put on my bulletin board. Like, he said it with some measure of surprise, like, oh, they're actually decent. So, again, if you're manufacturing that kind of emotion, I go back to what Chewy's buddy Brett Favre used to say about how there was always a guy on your team in high school that would say, they called us a bunch of cream puffs. Yeah. Let's go get them.
Yeah.
And then that guy would get knocked on his ass on the opening kickoff, and you'd never hear from him again.
Jason, is this still a big deal to the fans? Because, you know, we don't have our finger on the pulse of Green Bay, but I remember back in the day, there were restaurants that would put Bears jerseys where, you know, the floor mat would go into the restaurant. We don't see that. And then I'm just reading on the Packers X that there's still tickets available because the Bears returned a portion of their allotment. So is this still a big deal to the fans?
Well, I don't think it is, only because, again, during your era, the Bears, you know, if anybody would have been proclaiming, I own you, I still own you, it would have been the good people of Chicago, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because and you guys were the ones that flipped the script. And so for a very long time, you know, Green Bay was the trying to turn things around. And then Favre goes 22-10. Rodgers goes 25-5. Love is 3-1. LaFleur was 11-0 against them until the finale, which, again, I think if they had had something to play for, they play it differently. And they're probably 12-0 against them, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think so, only because, and again, I you guys know me, I do not speak for fans. This is just my observation, is that there's been too many times with the Vikings and the Lions during this domination of the Bears where there were more important things to play for. And I think that's why Sunday is different. You know, Josh Jacobs, what I love about him is there's not a dishonest bone in his body. Like, we need a number one wide receiver, right? Like, he doesn't, he just says it, and he's got enough gravitas to that people are like, well, he's not lying. And so I think he's right about this. It is different because the Bears are decent. And I, again, 6-point positive point differential, bunch of one score wins, bunch of wins over backup quarterbacks starting for the opponent. I get all that, but the record is what their record is. And their spot in the NFC North is first place right now. And so I think if, and this is why, this is another example, and we talked about it earlier in the week, why I'm wired differently than fans, because I want this to be this. I don't want it to be the Packers dominating. And I understand fans don't see it through the same prism, but to me, this is just way more interesting. Now, there's also the possibility, a higher possibility, that your team will lose to the Bears. And I understand why fans don't like that. But I don't think until there's more to play for on a two games a year basis, I don't think you'll see it be like it was when you were around town, too.
Jason, one of the things that kind of flew under the radar yesterday with all these other things going on, Packers-Bears week, Javon Bullard downgraded to a non-participant in practice yesterday, especially given how the Bears run the football. If he's unable to go, would Nate Hobbs, who's working his way back from his knee injury, would Nate Hobbs be the guy they put in the slot?
Mm-hmm. Yep, he would be. In fact, we asked Halfley about that. That was before we got the injury report. We talked to Halfley before we got it, I think. I can't remember. Because he also talked about Bullard and how well he's played. We'll see what Bullard does today. But yeah, that was unexpected, obviously. And I would agree with you with all the, you know, look, I try to cover all the angles, and I didn't do a good job of covering that yesterday either, because I was too busy worrying about Josh Jacobs talking about how he's not going to stop practicing and he's not going to change his running style and they can't put any real protective padding on his knee. And if you guys watch the Thanksgiving game, Brian Branch hits him square on that knee. That's got the bone bruise mm-hmm. and the quadriceps bruise in it. And he actually said, and I just got to finish the story that I'm writing about it. He actually said he went to Branch, who he didn't really know. They both went to Alabama, but not at the obviously same time. But he basically kind of gave him a stern talking to, not just, hey, man, that, you didn't have to do that. I know why you went low, but come on. But also, like, I think he hit some helmet to knee, which he kind of gave him like a big brother speech of, hey, man, you're gonna do some serious damage to yourself, too, playing that way. So with all that going on, I didn't – and Bull was in the locker room, and I wish I would have talked to him. We'll see if he's in there today when we're in there. But, yeah, that – he is – you know, between him and Evan Williams, those two guys have played really, really well. And while I have been certainly critical of certain draft picks that Goody has had in recent years that have not panned out, those two dudes are really good football players.
Jason, where do you think the front office is right now with Rashawn Gary as far as returning next year? He's 0-4 in the last five games. Where do you think they're at?
If somebody should be hearing chatter about not finishing seasons, it should be him.
Correct.
It should be Rashawn Gary, not Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
He's got five games to get 2.5 sacks. He'll probably have one game out of the final five where he has 2.5 sacks in the game, right? Because it always comes in bunches with him, and then there's a bunch of like, look, I will admit that, you know, he was a first round pick in 19. I have never had the kind of relationship with him that I have with other players where I could get him kind of open up and talk about his frustrations. I would actually say that I've had conversations before where, you know, I wanted to paint I don't want to say sympathetic picture. I want to paint it fairly, but I've had conversations with him where I kind of wanted to give him the opportunity to say, look, I need to be better, right? Because fans want to hear that. Fans want to hear that you're acknowledging that you're not having as much impact as you should and that you care about it. And he's not someone who says that. And so I don't know the answer to your question, Chu. I would say with his cap number and with other people to pay, he would be a candidate for a trade or a asked to take a pay cut or his release because of, obviously, they have Micah Parsons, and Micah Parsons is the rising tide that lifted his boat for a while and can probably lift some other guys' boats. They drafted Baron Sorrell. They drafted Colin Oliver, who is coming off the PUP finally. They've got Kingsley Enagbare, who's in a contract year, who they might be able to re-sign for a lot less than what it would cost to keep Rashawn Gary. So I don't know what the end game is. I don't know what Goody's thinking because they haven't talked to us all year since training camp ended. But I would say that I am intrigued to see how that plays out.
Jason, before we let you go, in our next segment, Chewy has a question for me. But he would not tell me before the show what the question was. Do you think I should be nervous?
No, not at all.
Okay.
He's a radio professional and a 3-time Pro Bowler. I love this. I think we need to do more of this. You guys, I don't know what, like, I mean, you guys do a great job. Jen is phenomenal. You two are phenomenal. You're knuckleheads, but you're phenomenal. Josh needs to be a little bit careful. It's great to hear Will call me this morning, but he's getting into a little Jesse Nelson territory with the number of days off he's taking, so he's got to be a little careful. But you guys have these pre-show meetings. Like, you understand that with Tausch, not only do I not know what question he might ask, he doesn't even tell me that he's not telling me what the question is going to ask.
Jason, can I be honest with you, though?
You forgot it?
Yeah, I forgot it.
See,
It'll come back.
See, this was what I was worried about when this happened, when he goes, oh, I've got a really good question, but I don't want to tell you. I'm like, are you sure you're going to remember it? Oh, yeah, I'll remember it.
And I even asked him. I said, do you want me to write it down? And he said,
yes,
no.
Write it down.
It'll come back.
All right. Well,
yeah. Right. Can't wait till it'll come back at 9:45.
Yeah, exactly. I might be calling your show, Jason.
We'd love to have you, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, brought to us by Lakeland Supply. Their business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment. LakelandSupply.com. We see if Chewy remembers the question next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
All right, big guy, moment of truth time.
Got it. I re-chewed it.
Well, we're also going to test that memory later with the week in re-chew. Right. So Chewy's got a question.
Yes.
I have no idea what this is.
Let me ask you guys this. Are we all in agreement that the Packers are good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good, right?
Yeah.
My question is this, because I have no idea about this game. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Are you more confident that the Packers are really good or that the Bears are good?
Whew, okay.
Come, Gabe, mm-hmm. come Monday.
Yes.
What do you think you will say? Maybe you'll say both, but come Monday, do you think you'll be saying the Packers are really good or the Bears are good?
Whew. It's a great question.
Thank you.
Just because, so the Bears are really good at two things. I might even be able to say the Bears are great at two things. They're great at running the football. They're number two in the NFL in rushing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great at taking the football away. They're number one in turnovers. The Packers are great at avoiding turnovers. They're number one in the league in giveaways.
Not
turning the ball over offensively. So that's interesting. I mean, the Bears are great at two things, and that kind of carries the rest of their average.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of average in a lot of other places. Like they're but the, 14th or 15th in passing. Defense stinks outside of the turnovers.
But we've seen the Packers be very good.
Yeah.
And then they don't follow it up.
Correct.
So what do you think's gonna what do you think we'll be saying on Monday?
Well, and again, this ends up being a really interesting matchup because the thing well, again, the turnover thing is just interesting in and of itself. You've got the number one team in giveaways, the number one team in avoiding turning the football over. So that's going to be a battle back and forth to see if the Packers can avoid because if the Packers avoid turnovers, they're gonna be able to move the football.
Yes.
The Packers and regardless of turnovers, they're gonna move the football. It's just the way that the Bears get stops is turning you over.
Mm-hmm.
But can the Packers get enough stops against that run game? Because if the Packers are able to get into a point where they dare Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams to beat them, I think they win.
Like, what would the score be if it was both? If the Packers, come Monday,
yeah.
we say the Packers are really good and the Bears are. I don't think there's a scenario where they can Packers say the Packers are really good and the Bears are good.
Like 31-27?
Yeah, but then you would say, would you say the Packers are really good?
I mean,
you would say
you
they're
to?
Really good and the Bears are good, right? You'd have to say both.
I would think so if the Bears put up 27 points. I mean, 31-27, right? Like, I think that would have to be the scenario.
If it's a close game, I think you can say both. Yeah. Because the Bears beat the Eagles. I mean, they're coming off their best win of the year.
Yeah, but hold on, Will. Hold on there, young little buck. You can't say that if the score is 10-7.
We could say neither say is that. True.
Yeah, then I don't know who's good and who's not if the score's 10-7.
So the scores has to be pretty scory.
Would it be, would 24-21, would you walk away going, yeah, Packers are really good, Bears are good?
Because I know that.
What's the breaking point?
Well, this is what I think, Abe. I think the Packers defense is really good.
Yeah.
In NFL terms, because offense is clearly more important. Oh, yeah. Than the defense.
I mean, we've seen number one defenses give up points at times. It's just the nature of the beast.
I just don't think if the Packers put up 10 points, you can't say they're really good. You just can't.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because this is a terrible defense. I mean, they get a lot of turnovers, but the defense is not very good.
No, 25th in points. Like the teams, like we talk about how bad the Steelers defense is.
Yeah.
That's the company they're keeping in their yards per game and their points per game.
Yeah,
they're in the same category as the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So
this defense gave up, like, what was it, 28 points?
52 to the Lions.
Well, 52 to the Lions, but I was Mason
Week
Rudolph.
Two.
Yes.
Mason Rudolph scored 27 or 28 points against this team.
I mean, as a backup for a team that
looked incredibly inept on national television last week in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Like, the Packers really good, the Bears not good, that's easy.
Oh, that's
31-10,
yes, 31-13.
That's easy.
Yeah.
And then conversely, if the Bears beat the Packers, Bears are good, Packers are good.
I honestly, just given this matchup, I still can't believe it's a 6-point spread.
Why, you think it should be more?
I think it should be tighter.
You should be what?
It should be tighter.
I agree.
Like, so right now it's 6.5, according to the DraftKings Sportsbook. It's 6.5 points.
So it's...
Like, I look at this, it should be like 3 or 3.5.
Yes,
just because, again, how good the Bears run the football.
Well, I can tell you this, the Bears are using the disrespect card.
Oh, with that line? Yeah.
They're using it there, just like I'm sure the coaching staff in Green Bay is using Johnson's comments. Okay. So, I put my prediction in, but I really have no idea.
I haven't put my prediction in yet, but I think I'm leaning 27-24 pack.
Which would spell what? They're both good?
Yeah.
No, Green Bay's really good. Bears are good.
Yeah.
Any one possession game in the 20s, I think we can walk away saying this is going to be a good rivalry for years to come.
Okay.
Yeah. If the Packers win 27-24, it's not like, gonna take care of business in a couple weeks down in Chicago.
Yeah.
No, that's still, you're nervous about that game coming up.
And even like last year when the Packers had that tipped field goal, like you could tell the Bears were still not as good. It was the Packers are still good, the Bears not as good, but Packers played down.
Yeah.
But it just goes to tell you what bad coaching is. Bad coach. Eberflus had no clue because this is essentially the same team. Right? For the most part.
They upgraded especially the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Which has made a difference.
Huge difference.
It's made a big difference for this team.
And Loveland's a nice little addition.
I mean, they had Kmet before, to your point.
They don't really use him that much, though. It's kind of...
Because they've really used Loveland.
Yeah.
He did have a touchdown against the Eagles.
Yeah.
But Loveland's been the kind of go-to guy in those
I don't know.
Situations.
This is...
It's going to come down to the linebackers, essentially. It's going to be the Bears running the ball and doing the play
action.
Let
me ask you this. Does this game have more juice than the Philly game? To me, it does.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. But I cannot wait, and I'm glad that this is now a 325 game. I can't wait to be at the Trio on Monday just to feel the energy that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
Just to see, and you mentioned the Bears are returned the allotment. Now that's the team allotment, right?
Sure.
So, I'm curious to see how many Packer fans held onto the tickets.
Yeah.
Because there have been, at times, even this season, where you're going, it's kind of a lot of different colors other than green and gold walking through the parking lot.
Well, I can tell you this. My buddy is a sellout. He sold his tickets, probably to Bear fans. I'm just saying.
How do you allow this to happen?
I think he's a little mad about the raising of the tickets.
That's fair.
Kind of sticking it.
That's fair.
Don't let this get to Matt LaFleur. He'll be up in arms.
He will.
Although this is like the first time he's mentioned, hey, don't sell your tickets.
Yeah.
So maybe he's not as worried about it this week.
Yeah.
But it is going to be really interesting what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, last week we had Black Friday, and if you're looking to shop for the Brewers fan in your life, Brewers annual clubhouse sale taking place today, goes through Sunday, starts at 8 a.m. today, so just in a couple of minutes, through 6 p.m., and then it's 8 to 4 on Sunday. 80% off of merchandise, apparel, and game-used memorabilia. It's a cashless event. Parking, though, is free. Admission is free. Check out the team store. Meet and greet with Santa Bernie. He's going to be spreading holiday cheer today, tomorrow, from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then in conjunction with Northwest Mutual, they are encouraging fans to round up at the register this year to support the clubhouse as the clubhouse sale supports Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. So a lot of cool things going on, and this is, I was talking with my buddy who goes to this every year about the clubhouse sale. Really cool stuff. Like, again, game used stuff. So maybe you might be able to get something from one of your favorite players at a pretty severe discount. Maybe you're just looking, you know, a lot of the stuff that they had in the clubhouse shop this year, they got to get that out. They got to get the new stuff in for next year. So you can still get really cool Brewers gear up to 80% off the merchandise. So make sure you're checking it out. It's the Brewers annual clubhouse sale, and it's going on today through Sunday. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. today, tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday, the Brewers annual clubhouse sale at the ballpark.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
I know it's Packers-Bears week, but we do have to follow up on the Giannis story that's been going on throughout the course of this week. Again, starting with the reports that, maybe Giannis wants out. And it seems like yesterday a little backtracking was kind of happening on the ESPN side. The Bucks on Wednesday night had vehemently denied any report that came out of ESPN. And Brian Windhorst he was on ESPN. He does a hit on our sister station with ESPN Cleveland, talking about how Giannis had already asked out this summer. Like, oh, he already asked to be traded to the Knicks. And that was something that he was talking about on Wednesday. Tell me if you hear a little bit something different from Brian Windhorst, who joined the Rich Eisen show yesterday when talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks.
Giannis has not, gone up and said, I want to be traded. Giannis has just expressed frustration, and his agent has had to be sort of the guy behind the scenes that has talked about stuff. And so I understand that what people want is, does he want to be traded or not? It's a simple yes or no question that doesn't have a simple answer, because he's elected to sort of try to go through the process without, having a firm decision. He's just.
So that, again, from the Rich Eisen show yesterday.
So is this just bad reporting? Is this just clickbait? I mean, we talked about it in the break. I mean, Giannis still could come out and say totally untrue,
100%.
False, and put it to sleep.
100%.
It's just, I hate when reporters do that.
But I think it seems like it was bad information that was passed along.
It's just bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
They should look. Shams and Wendy, you should.
Because Wendy was going on every show on Wednesday saying, oh, Giannis has asked out already. He already asked out once. Asked to be traded to the Knicks. To anybody who would listen. That was a completely different tone. So I'm guessing that he actually talked to somebody from the Bucks.
Let me ask you this. Is this bad enough to where you'll say, I don't trust a word these guys say anymore when it comes to Giannis?
I know there's a lot of Bucks fans who will. Now, what I think happened, I think there was a conversation that happens between agents and general managers that typically happen throughout the course of a season, where you had a really bad loss on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no way around that. Giannis was healthy as could be, and they lost to the Washington bleeping Wizards. And I'm guessing an agent just called up Horst and said, hey, what the heck's going on? What? I thought we were talking about how this team was going to be competitive this year. We just lost to the Wizards. We're in the 10th spot in the East. What the heck is going on? I'm guessing, and that's a conversation I think that happens across the league between agents and GMs all the time.
Does it really? I would hang up on his agent. I'd be, I stay in your lane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I'm getting, for higher ranking players and their agents,
really?
And general managers, I'm guessing those conversations happen probably more frequently than any of us probably know. And I think they had a conversation, and I think that got overblown in whoever leaked that information to Shams.
Because they're going to lose more games. I mean, they say Giannis is out two to four,
so that was the other
but
thing.
I think it's going to be closer to four.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't, maybe 3.5. Like, the dude is a freak and recovers quickly and always wants to be out there.
Yeah, but
and
he's getting up.
Yeah, he's going to turn. He's
getting up in age.
He's turning 31. When's his birthday? It's coming up here early December.
Saturday, I think.
Yeah, it is Saturday. Yeah. So he's turning 31 on Saturday.
I guess this is just what it is. You know, is it worse than we thought?
I don't think so.
It's about what we thought?
I think it's about what we thought. And the statement that I said at the beginning of the season is as true today as it was at the beginning of the season. The easiest way to keep Giannis around is win.
Yeah.
You win games. You win a playoff series. You win two. I mean, I guarantee you, if you win two playoff series, he's sticking around. You win a playoff series, maybe you have a little bit of a conversation depending upon how the series goes.
Yeah, I just can't. Win, I can't trust these guys anymore, Gabe.
Which is fair. That's
I'm
fair.
I'm like, you know what? Let me know when he's moved on.
That's fair. I think that's completely fair.
Okay.
From your point, we've got so many other things to get to in hour two. But who's a better coach? Is it Ben Johnson? Is it Matt LaFleur? We dive into that coming up next. 2 minutes, Jen, give it to you.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.